Everywhere I go, you are there. Your eternal presence goes before. You are beauty. You are wisdom. You are majesty. You are power.
Sin and me.
Know my thoughts and lead me in the way everlasting, everlasting. Everywhere I go, you are there, filling all the earth. Surrounded by your steadfast love. Everywhere I go, you are there. Your eternal presence goes before. You are beauty. You are wisdom. You are majesty. You are power, you are everlasting God, you are everlasting God, you are everlasting God, and I am yours. You are beauty. You are wisdom. You are majesty. Everlasting God.
Well, amen. We're glad to have Victor Carpio with us. He's a missionary we support in the Philippines. And so, brother, why don't you come and let us know what God's doing there and preach the word tonight. Amen. God bless you.
Well, good evening to everyone. And I would like to thank the Lord for bringing us here safe and sound once again. I think it has been 7 years now, the last time we've been here. The reason why there are some who are approaching me when... Who Scarpio is this, Art or Vic? And just don't tell to Art. Easy to remember. No ear, that's Art. Complete ear, that's Vic. Preacher, don't tell it. And glad to see the floor. And they are my friends, co-missionaries. They were both medical doctor. They gave themselves in the ministry. And thank you for being here. So I'm surprised they were here tonight. Well, I would like to show first our video, and I hope that you will enjoy watching it. And this will tell about our ministry for how many years, for our partnership together, and a lot of things happening in our mission field. Please try to watch our video. In almost 17 years of ministering to the Philippines, the Lord opened us a great doors of opportunity to reach out Cordillera region people. And as I told to my presentation that we have now more than 20 churches in that area. Almost all of these preachers and missionaries are from our Bible college. So when we reach all these towns and provinces of our region, the Lord opened unto us these ASEAN countries. ASEAN is like an association of European Union type of thing, you know. So the good thing for this opportunity is when you are a member or a citizen of one country of this ASEAN, we don't need visa to enter, come in and out to that country. And that is our great opportunity. You know what, years ago, I remember a quotation from ABWA that when they went to our country for mission field before World War II, they caught this quotation, "Let us make Philippines as a stepping board to reach out Asia for Christ." And God knows all of these things beforehand. In His sovereignty, now your country is heavily involved in war against ISIS. To know the truth, to let you know, Indonesia is one of the biggest Muslim population in the world. Malaysia as well is a Muslim country. So the door is being closed to the American missionaries, but God prepared Philippines. And we are ready to reach out these people. Isn't it that God is great? That nobody can stop the propagation of the gospel. So we are ready to go for these countries. And to God be the glory. 2 years ago, we have started a church in Singapore. And last August, we started a church in Malaysia. And we have ready missionary. They are graduate also of our college. Right after I came back home and a month maybe, we will be going to East Timor to conduct a survey. And then a few months after, we will start a church over there. Here is my need. Here is my challenge. I am not asking any more support this time for monthly. What I need is a church, members who are willing to sponsor one country for the gospel, one country for one church. What do you mean, Brother Victor Carpio? When we start a church in Singapore, Pastor, I was being invited in Grace Baptist Church at Middletown. I tried to present this great vision. I just asked them, please help me for 2 years operation of the ministry. And then by faith, after that 2 years, the church, they will become independent. They will support their own pastor. So the church gave me only 1 year commitment because I'm asking $24,000 for 2 years operation of the ministry, rental, and everything is in there. So when I received a $12,000, oh my, but I asked the Lord, God, this is what you have given unto me. We will go. The $12,000 that is for 1 year operation of the ministry in Singapore, and I thank God. He saved good people, souls of men, and then now become members of the church. And to tell you the truth, the church in Singapore, they support their own pastor now. They support, you know, they pay their own rental, everything. So when God showed this to me, well, I told to myself and to my family and even to the church in the Philippines, let us do more. So we start church in Malaysia. We don't have partners in the United States. The reason why our ministry back there is struggling right now financially. And that is the purpose, the reason why we are here. I am looking churches who are willing to sponsor one country for 12,000 pesos, 1 year operation, and there will be a church to be started in that country by faith. As He did and He blessed us in Singapore, He will bless us also in Malaysia. He will bless us also in Indonesia as well in East Timor. As I told you, we have a ready missionary, but what we need is partners. We got here April 8, and we will be back home on June 26, preacher and church. We have only a few weeks to go, and we are looking. Actually, there is now one church who gave us the 50% we need in Malaysia. They committed $6,000, but I am looking for another $6,000 for Malaysia to sponsor this country. So I'm praying 18 more churches and 18 Christians who are willing to give for one-time love gift, just $1,000, sponsoring a country for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what's happening in our ministry. And once again, I thank you for being partners together, and to God be the glory to the great things He has done in this ministry. And you have a question, I will place myself on my display, and you can ask me a question if you have some, to give you detail what is, you know, Singapore ministry, Malaysian ministry, and concerning our vision, our dream. In 2020, all these 10 countries, we are begging God that all of these 10 countries, there will be Bible-believing Baptist churches. Because as you knew, the ministry that I started in the mountain, Brother Art took over all of this ministry. I need him there. We prayed for a long time because we need somebody to take care of the college that we have the same vision. So all of our graduates, not all, I mean, all of them are going to the ministry, but there will be a high percentage that they are desiring to go with me, starting churches to these ASEAN countries. So I'm confident that before or during 2020, churches will be established to all of these countries. Because we have ready missionaries, we have ready workers. What we need is people in this country, churches and individuals who are willing to sponsor us for this great vision. So thank you very much once again for this great opportunity, preacher, church, that you allow us to be here to give you an update of what is happening in our mission field, in our ministry back home. And you know what? One thing that I thank God for, God never let my fire in my heart doing church planting cease. Until today, the Lord keeps my heart burning. And I am so blessed with that kind of thing. To let you know, though I'm still young, I feel that we are running out of time. The reason why I and my wife, we love to do more, move, and move. Until the Lord Jesus Christ tarry his coming, we love to do more in this ministry. So, folks, we need more prayers. We need more sponsors for these countries for Christ. Well, I would like you to challenge tonight from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 9. Jonah, chapter 3, verse 9. We knew all this story. There was a missionary who went away from the presence of God. He doesn't like to go to Nineveh because Nineveh was so wicked city, very wicked city. As he thought, they deserved not the grace and mercy of God. And of course, we knew all of it that it was the Ninevites who murdered his family. So, he get away from the presence of God, but God sent a great wind along the way going to Tarshish. And he was being cast out to the sea. But God preserved his life. After 3 days and three nights of praying in the fish belly, he followed God. And he began to preach a very simple message that never I heard this kind of message that turned into a great revival. In a history of revival, maybe this was the simplest message that we can see and heard. Chapter 3, verse 4, he said, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Did you hear that kind of message that brings into great revival? How could I wish that we will stand in the midst of Manhattan and preach the same message? Hey, Manhattan people, 40 days, the Lord will overthrow this New York City. Maybe they will cast a stone. They will mock us. But this one, he preaches a very powerful message. And in fact, almost all the people of Nineveh got saved. From the small to the greatest person of Ninevites, even the king. So therefore, when the king heard that, verse 6, he proclaimed and published through Nineveh, verse 7, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. He even commanded the beast to fasting and to put sackcloth. Not all the people, but still they have a question in their mind, especially this king. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? The theme of our message tonight, who can tell if God will turn and repent, can we come to God by prayer? God, tonight I need your help. You know my limitation, but I thank you, you are unlimited, God. Nothing is impossible to you. Even in my weaknesses, you can speak to the hearts of your people tonight. May not the language barrier stop them, God, in receiving a heavenly blessing, an instruction and challenge from your words. Tonight, God, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit to fill me and to fill us all. Thank you for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was great revival happened. Sometimes I try to imagine a backslidden person. At the end of the days, God still used him. That is not new to us. We even heard Samson. We even heard Peter. But at the end of the day, the Lord used them tremendously. I remember Peter, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ for many times. And yet, when the Lord dealt him, when he confesses his sin, and when he was being revived, in one preaching, Peter, there are a lot of people got saved. As well with Jonah. What Jonah's preaching makes difference? That turned this great city into a great revival. In verse 1 of chapter 2, and I do believe that this passage or chapter 2 in Jonah does a lot of things in Jonah's preaching. Then Jonah prayed. I thank God for that. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly. We knew all the facts that 3 days and three nights he was there at the fish belly doing nothing but praying. And not just merely praying, but confessing his own sin and praying to be right with God. And this is what we need, I do believe, today. And this is what many churches loses. The reason why we lose fire, the reason why we lose power in preaching, though there will be a great and tremendous preaching, but ladies and gentlemen, no power, because few people are praying for the power of the preaching of God's word. And I thank the Lord until today, this old practice never changed. When we really desiring for revival in one place, when we really desiring revival in our hearts, when we really desiring revival in our church, we got to spend our knees before God. Yes, I thank the Lord for the new practices of the churches today. We have good programs, but there is no alternative way to have the power of God in one church, but that is to pray more earnestly. And I wish and pray that this old practice never change. Though a lot of churches changes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what Jonah's preaching makes difference. He never preaches a fancy preaching, a very simple one. Yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. To God be the glory, the message that we have never changed. Amen. The old gospel, the same gospel that we preach today, the old gospel that the apostles preaches, and until today we're still preaching it. It was not a fancy one. It is just a story of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is just but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who cleanses away all our sins. This is a powerful preaching. As well with Jonah's preaching, very simple, but immersed with prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, we beg you, pray for us. We preachers, we need your prayers. I thank you for supporting us financially, but more so, we need your prayers. Especially in the places that we are now trying to penetrate and preach the gospel. Muslim countries, they were close when it talks about the gospel, but I believe by much prayer, God will open their doors. Ladies and gentlemen, great revival happened in this city, but still they have a question. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Just three simple things. Number one, the unbelieving people cannot tell. The unbelieving people cannot tell if God will repent. The unbelieving people, though they will try to do their best for them to be saved, but they cannot even tell if God will tell or turn or repent. I remember when I was a young boy, I grew up in a Catholic family. I served to the priest as an altar boy. My priest told me, do the sacraments, all of this, and you will be saved, or hoping that you will be saved. There was no assurance that he gave to me. They were just hoping, but not assured of. Ladies and gentlemen, all of these people around us, all unbelieving people, they tried to save their own selves, but they were not assured by it. They were just hoping, especially these people in Nineveh. They were enjoying in their sins. Unknowingly, God soon is going to judge them. Isn't it? This is what we can see all over the world. Yes, I do believe Apostle Paul said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I remember Pastor Mike in Lagawe years ago when we went there. 6 o'clock in the afternoon, there was no vehicle. There was no man walking in the street. It is like a very simple town. But today, it's a growing town. But one thing I observe, when the town in the Philippines is growing, sin is growing also. When you have seen a city is growing or a town is growing, name it, sin is growing. Unknowingly, these people, though they enjoy doing the wicked things, but soon God is going to judge them. They were ignorant of God's judgment. They were ignorant of their condition in the sight of God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? These people cannot tell unless someone will tell them. And to God be the glory. We have the same condition in the past, but the gospel reaches you and reaches me. And now we knew, and we can tell that we are saved. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Not only the unbelieving people cannot tell, but I'm assured with this, missionaries, Christians can tell. Brother Bick, what do you mean? I don't know what is in the mind of God, if who God is going to save in these countries. But I have a little knowledge of God, that He is merciful, He is gracious, His loving kindness is so great. I'd like you to see chapter 4, the book of Jonah, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. I'd like to say this. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He has that knowledge concerning God, that when these people will turn from their wicked ways and they will turn unto God, God will turn, because Jonah knew that his God is a gracious God. He is a merciful God. And am I right that we can tell tonight that God that we are serving is a gracious God? He is a loving God. We can tell that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. We can tell that Jesus is not willing that any should perish. We can tell when the church is on fire, when the church is praying, God can use you to spread out the gospel all over the world. We can tell when there is a missionary who will take heed the call and obey the call and preach the gospel faithfully. Someone out there is waiting to hear the gospel and for them to be saved. We can tell that when we are partners together in the ministry. People out there is waiting to hear the gospel. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, though we cannot tell what is in the mind of God, but I do believe with this, until the Lord Jesus Christ tarry His coming, He wants to see more people to be saved. Our job is not yet over. It may be to some places in this country, I met a lot of pastors and they keep on telling me, Brother Vic, America now is in danger. It's totally different. You can't attend them anymore at trucks in the gas station and share to them the gospel. The reason why we are making some strategies and techniques to win these people, it may be correct, but still there are some people in this place, and there are many more people outside or on the other side of the world is being open for the gospel. What we need to do is just go and preach the gospel. We can tell this. Until the Lord, why He tarries come, until now, I believe He wants to see more people to be saved. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Jonah can tell. that He is a merciful God, that He is a gracious God. Even though Nineveh is the most wicked city back then, God wants them to be saved. Name it. Show me the most wicked person and wicked community, God still loves them. They need someone to share the gospel. They need someone to preach the gospel unto them. We can tell that. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? The unbelieving people cannot tell. You and I can tell. And number three, God can tell. How do you know it, Brother Vic? The reason why He calls Jonah. If God is not going to save Nineveh, if God will not show His mercy to these people, He never calls Jonah anymore. Why until today He calls young men, He calls young women, He calls missionary, He calls preacher? You know why? Because God can tell when this young man will follow and obey God's call, God is going to use him. We can tell that. The reason why He calls, and through the obedience of that young man and young woman, for the calling of God, people out there is waiting to be saved. The reason why He gave chances. Jonah received a chance from the Lord. Truly, he went out from the presence of God, total opposite to the will of God. But God preserves his life. Are you not glad that we have a God of chances? Not just a second chance, many chances. If it had not been in the faithfulness of God, in a forgiveness of God, in a chance of God that He always offered us, in the grace of God that daily offered unto us, we are not here serving Him anymore. Am I right that we failed Him many, many times in our lives, but He never failed us? Amen. To God be the glory, we have a loving Savior that He never failed us. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He promised us like that, ladies and gentlemen. We are unfaithful, but He remains faithful. Jonah received a chance from the Lord. He was worthy to die. He knew it. I am the reason of all of these things when he was in the boat. Cast me out to the sea. He knew it that he was worthy to die. But God preserved his life. That is what we deserve from God. Judgment supposed to be of all of our unfaithfulness and sin. But why until today we are still alive? Because we have a God of second chance. He gave chances to many servants of God. As I told you, He gave chances to Samson. He gave chance to Peter. And the Lord used them tremendously. As well with us. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? God can tell the reason why He calls. The reason why He gave chances. The reason why He commands. I thank God. The command of God to Jonah never changed. Chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me." When he was being revived and ready to follow and obey God's call, he received the same command in verse 2, "Arise, go unto Nineveh." I thank the Lord with the word "go." Did you remember when Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples? The first word, "go." Go ye into all the world. The command of God, the great commission, never changed. Almost 2,000 years ago now, when this first commission, the first command of God to these apostles, we have the same command that we carried as a church. We have the same responsibility that we carried to these people, that we must go into all the world, not only in America, not only in Philippines, even in Asia, and all into all the world. God said to the church at Jerusalem, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." As you do and obey this command and fulfill this command, we also fulfill this command in the Philippines, the reason why we are reaching out ASEAN countries. What we thought we are not able, what we thought the Lord will not use us, what we thought only Americans that God will use, This is our great privilege, Filipinos, to take this great responsibility. Let us work together to carry this God's mandate. Go ye into all the world. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? The unbelieving people cannot tell. You and I can tell. And God can tell. The reason why He calls, the reason why He's calling you, the reason why He's empowering you. Are you not glad that every preaching, God is speaking to you? God is speaking to us. He's calling you. We need to obey Him. Because when you obey, God can use you. The reason why He gave chances to all of our unfaithfulness, if it had not been His mercy and grace, we are not here today serving Him. The reason why He still commands us, and the commands that we bring to the people is the same command that the apostles received. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? You and I can tell it. I hope and pray, let's keep on working together. Bring this gospel to the unreached people, to the unreached nation, for the sake of Christ. Once again, thank you very much, and God bless you. Have a good evening, preacher.
Let's have a word of prayer together. My Father, I come to you. I thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, there would be nothing that we could rejoice in or testify about if it wasn't for your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that's not saved or not sure what it means to be born again, Lord, that they might feel the conviction and move of the Spirit of God on their heart. And Lord, as we give them opportunity, they would come and we would show them how to be saved tonight. I would pray, Lord, that for every believer here, that we would sense the fire and move of the Spirit of God in our hearts in this matter of living our Christian life and going and fulfilling the Great Commission. And Lord, I really believe that you're not willing that any should perish. And I really believe with all my heart you desire for the lost to hear the gospel. And because of that, Lord, I know that you desire to call us and to use us to be the voice that cries in the wilderness, Lord, a voice that cries out to the lost that there's a God that loves them and they could be saved. And so, Lord, I pray that you impress upon our hearts tonight, move upon us and impress upon us, Lord, this desire to surrender to the call of God, to go out and preach the gospel, to testify of the grace of God, to speak to others about the love of Christ. And so, Lord, please, oh God, please send thy Holy Spirit upon us. And we'll praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's